Journey of Faith Radio with your host, Vicki Petz Henderson, physician, writer, speaker, encourager, and lover of God's Word. My Journey of Faith is a place to inspire, equip, and encourage women in their personal walks with Christ. Here's your host, Vicki Petz Henderson.
Welcome to My Journey of Faith Radio. I'm so glad you joined me this afternoon. My guest today is Jen Weaver. Welcome, Jen.
Hi, good to be here.
Well, Jen is passionate about sharing her strength with others as an author, Bible teacher, inspirational speaker. I love that you share strength because we get strength from each other, don't we?
We do.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you need it and I have it, and sometimes I need it and you have it.
Well, I hope someone else has it today because I don't. I hope someone else has it. Well, your book is A Wife's Secret to Happiness, Receiving, Honoring, and Celebrating God's Role for You in Your Marriage. What a much needed topic.
It's been a journey of learning for sure.
Well, and I love the format of your book. It's really quite different. Would you just explain to our listeners about how you formatted the book?
Oh, sure. So each chapter is set up with a specific blessing. So we have 11 chapters, 11 blessings that God wants to give a wife through her husband and through her marriage. And that's independent of what her husband does, just by her relationship with the Lord and how she chooses to live as a wife. And then at the end of each chapter, we apply that blessing to two conflicting wife styles. So our habits or tendencies, our style as wives, one attracts the blessing and one rejects it. And so there's a fun little quiz, so you can apply some of the concepts we talk about in the chapter. And it's not a grading scale. This isn't to figure out if you're a good wife or a bad wife, but it's to figure out, okay, are my tendencies helpful in this area of my relationship or are they harmful? And then we look at questions and tips on how to choose the more helpful approach.
I love that. And so you describe the wife styles. That
yes.
is so cute. So can you tell me, are there specific styles? Do they have names or does it depend on what blessing it applies to?
Yes. So there's two different wife styles for every blessing. And I tried to be creative and fun with them. So for example, chapter one is talking about the blessing of the three strands, and it's referencing that verse in Ecclesiastes about how a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And so we're talking throughout the chapter about the opportunity we have as wives to include Jesus in our marriages and to be intentional in seeking his presence in our daily interactions with our husbands. And so when we get to the wife styles are either frayed or braided. Am I frayed in my cord? Am I unraveling at the end? Or am I being tightly woven and braided in by how I'm choosing to bring Jesus into my relationship?
I like that because it's such a visual picture. Immediately when you say the word frayed, I think of a rope that's coming unwrapped at the end.
Yeah.
And tightly braided. That's interesting. And the Lord kind of gave me a picture about that one time that sometimes we want to be in the middle. And we want to hold on to Christ with one hand and our husband with the other hand. But really, Christ has to be in the middle. We have to let go and let Christ hold on.
Yes. Oh, that's so good.
It's hard. It's really, really hard. So I commented when we first came on together, Scott, our listeners can't see you, but I can see you. I commented that you look young, and here you're just spouting forth all this incredible wisdom, and I just want to know how you figured all this out.
Oh, goodness. I have so much to learn still. I really believe that God started me writing this book. It's been in process for about 5 years, and I really think he started me writing it because he knew if I started writing, I'd have to study, and I'd have to pay attention. And I'd have to live what I was right now, and he wanted me to learn it. And so it's been this huge learning process. Some of the time, not even something I enjoyed doing. There's one of the chapters I'm talking about confident expectation for good from God, even when we don't see it experienced in our lives and our marriages yet. And in the midst of writing this season, I had a newborn son, and my husband is our only baby so far. And my husband and I were just not on the same page. And so I'm studying and writing and knowing this is true, and at the same time telling God, I don't want to be writing about this. I don't want to have to be thinking about this. I don't even know that this is true, even though I know in my head that this is true. And I had to choose intentionally to adhere my heart day-to-day life in that season. And he brought me through it, and it's been good every step of the way.
That's awesome. And I think, at least for me, if I say out loud what I believe, even when I'm not feeling it, if I say it out loud, there's something about that driving a stake in the ground and saying, this is truth, and I'm going to speak it, not for the person that's sitting in front of me, but so that it bounces back and goes into my own ears, because I just, I believe it more if I say it out loud.
Yes. Well, and I totally agree to that. One of the things I had a lot of fun with in the book is in different chapters, I use Bible stories Jen style. And so I kind of put myself in the character's position, and some of it I modernized the Bible story a little bit. And there's one when I'm talking about the woman with the issue of blood and how she is on her way. And it says that she's speaking to herself. And I'm like, who is she talking to? She's cast out. She's unclean from society. And I fully believe she was talking to herself, and she was proclaiming truth to herself to give herself enough courage to get to Jesus to get her healing.
I love it. That's one of my favorite stories in the Bible because I'm a gynecologist. I have spoken on that before, and I call it touches, tampons, and tassels. So that's one of my favorite stories. I love it. And the book that you wrote, it is fun. I've read other books. I have read every book on the market on marriage, and a lot of them are very heavy and a very serious. But this has a much more fun, lighthearted tone, you know, that you're looking for good.
Thank you. I thought that out a lot. I wanted it to be, I'm a friend sitting across the table. We're having coffee or tea or soda, if that's your thing. And we're just getting to know each other and talking about what God has as plan for good in our marriage. Because I think a lot of times, especially in this day and age, it's easy to focus on the bad. It's easy to focus on the negative and what could go wrong instead of looking at the promises of what God holds out, even if we're not seeing them yet, or even if we're just starting to see the good and we need to hold on and persevere until we see more of it. And I wanted to be that friend for my readers.
That's awesome. And you do speak, your writing voice is that of a friend. It's not one of, okay, hey, I've got this whole marriage thing figured out. Let me tell you what you should be doing. It's like, it's more personal stories and some vulnerability, I think.
Oh, thank you. I worked to do that a lot. I actually wrote the book, the full book, twice. And in the first writing, I realized that a lot of my my approach was more teacher level. Mm-hmm. And it didn't sound like me. It didn't feel like me. I felt like I wasn't being exposed enough for talking about such a personal thing as our marriage relationships. And so I went back through and rewrote the whole thing. And God was super gracious by taking me through different seasons and reminding me of different circumstances that I could speak to. And then actually, that's another thing I love. At the end of each chapter, I have a real-life wife styling story from another wife. And so it's totally not my story at all. It's her story about how she's seen God prove faithful in bringing that blessing into her marriage when she applied this theme of instruction to her life. And I love that too, because I haven't gone through every circumstance, and so I'm able to bring in wives that have gone through other things that and have still seen the Lord prove faithful.
That's awesome. And I love what your generation does, because I hear this a lot from, I've changed to a new life group, and they're all about your age. I'm the mom in the group, and I hang around with a lot of people your age, and one of the buzzwords I hear all the time is to be intentional in parenting, to be intentional in marriage, to be intentional about how you spend your time. And I think that's something that my generation didn't necessarily do. So do you think that you started some of the things that you are recommending in your book from the very, very beginning of your marriage?
So the Lord was gracious in that I think he knew it was going to take me a long time. So he had me studying these things before I got married and in smaller parts. There were some things that I was able to apply from the get-go, and there were a lot of things that I had to learn as we went along. And even some of the things that I thought I was doing well in. One of the stories I share real briefly is about how I kind of self-appointed myself as my husband's vitamin police. And he wanted to take vitamins. We both took vitamins. And I was always like, oh, did you take your vitamins? Should I get your vitamins for you? Oh, you know, like, and he was finally like, babe, do you think you're my mom? Like, I don't need you. And so I had all of these, I identify as type A, and I'm okay with it. So I had all of these, like, type working through. I mean, we've been married for 8 years, together for 12, and it's still a learning curve. And I think there's grace for that, and I think that there's goodness in that, that we're constantly learning about each other and getting to know each other more, and that we have room to make mistakes and grow together as a couple.
That's awesome. And did you prepare beforehand, not so much for writing this book, but for your marriage? Did you read a lot?
Mm-hmm.
Were there any particular books that were, I mean, I know Love and Respect was life-changing for me. I read it about 10 years ago, and it was life-changing for me.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we love Love and Respect. And I still remember going to my husband after reading that book and saying, you know that I respect you, right? I tell you that. And he responded back to me, and he said, well, babe, I believe that you respect me, but you don't tell me that. And I had just assumed, like, without paying attention to it, that it was just going to naturally be coming out of my vocabulary toward him. And so that was really an eye-opening experience for me, because I just was like, oh, of course he knows, but I hadn't actually communicated that to him. And then something else that was really helpful for us was we read Wild at Heart.
Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorites, too.
Oh, my gosh. And so we read both of them. So he got to better understand my heart as a woman, and I got to better understand his heart as a man, and how God created each of us differently. And so that was really helpful.
All right. So were there any books that did you try to read while you were writing as well, or did you avoid that? Because I know that's controversial, whether you should be influenced by other writers or if you should just write independently.
I didn't really read while I was writing. I tried to avoid that. I did. So in the proposal writing process, I had to read comparison books. So books that were similar to mine and why mine was better or added to those. And even that was a little bit hard, because I could get done reading a book and be like, I don't know why the world needs my book. I don't know. No one needs my book anymore. It's fine. And so I tried not to get too much into that comparison mode when I was going through the process. But one of the things that I love about the Christian publishing world, and especially about marriage books, is the wealth of different perspectives that there are. And even with books where you might read it and say, well, all of that didn't really apply to me, we can look at and see, okay, well, this section totally spoke to my heart, and I can see how this section played out, and this chapter doesn't really apply to me right now, but it made me remember how God proved faithful in my marriage a couple years ago, and so I want to hold on to that as a testimony of what he's done, and I love that about the resources that are out there.
Well, I think for me, when I read a book, it depends on what season of life I'm in, and so I might pick up a book that has a certain tone, and I'm like, eh, that doesn't really mean anything to me, but then I'd pick up another one, and maybe that person's personality matches mine better. So I think there's always room for another voice, especially, I mean, I really relate to your voice. I really think it's a fun tone in a serious topic with very practical, boots on the ground kind of advice. And the difference between your book and others is how interactive it is.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. I like it. I feel like I very much put my heart into it. And in a lot of ways, I feel like as an author, as vulnerable as I can be, like the more vulnerable that I can be in communicating, the more a reader is going to be able to relate to me, and the more I can encourage them into vulnerable situations. Because when you're talking about marriage, stuff is hard. Marriage is hard. The enemy attacks marriage all the time. And going through different seasons, it's hard to be vulnerable in those relationships, especially when you're talking about believing God and fighting for things in the face of adversity.
So when did the book come out?
So it officially released on March 14th on Pi Day.
Oh, cool. So it's pretty new. So have you gotten feedback from readers of all ages, or has it been more of a niche for people that are in your similar age group?
I have been really blessed with feedback from a variety of readers, all ages, and I'm part of a critique group that has a lot of more seasoned married women in it, and so it's been really good getting their feedback as well.
That's neat. And this is not so much a book for marriage in crisis as it is one to live intentionally from the get-go.
Correct. Yes. It definitely would apply to a marriage marriage of any tenure, but my heart in it is especially for like new brides or newly engaged women, especially for millennials, because I feel like with the younger generations, a lot of the concepts that are talked about in how to communicate with your spouse and the whole submission topic, which is totally misunderstood by the world, I feel like we're getting opposite messages for the millennial generation, where it's more, you don't have to listen to anybody, girl boss, like you can rule, and it that damages our marriages when we take even some healthy things out of context and try and put that into the marriage relationship. And so my heart is really to encourage young brides and brides to be, the Bible's still true, it still applies today, it still applies to your marriage, and God has good things for it. You don't have to believe the myth that the honeymoon season is going to end. Even when you face difficulty, you can still love your husband, you can still have a good marriage, you can still thrive and grow together.
That's awesome. I could see this being a very popular wedding gift, because I always like to give books as gifts, and mm-hmm. I think it would be an awesome gift to give a bride for her bridal shower.
I think so too, just saying.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about that difficult topic of submission, because you know, that definitely is something that had affected my generation quite a bit, and it is thought of in a very negative context usually. But if you look at the true meaning of it, it's not, and in fact, it's very freeing.
It is. It is. And I have found tremendous freedom in it. I'm going to start out by saying submission is not natural to me. I can do it. I'm a woman, hear me roar. I grew up believing anything a boy could do, I could do better. And so the concept of submission felt, it felt a little bit less than. It felt like, oh, okay, well, you're just the pretty wife. I naturally put upon it this filter, this untrue filter of to be submissive means to be a doormat or to be quiet and to not speak your mind and just to be a yes woman and do whatever your husband says because he's the boss. And what it really is the opportunity to recognize your husband as the leader in your home, to treat him as such, and to bring your strengths to complement him. And that includes sharing your perspectives and using your natural talents and abilities in a respectful way. And the concept of submission, I've heard it described as something that's a product of the fall. It's this man-made curse, so men can be domineering and justify it as okay. And abuse is never okay. That in any circumstance. But submission is a gift of the Father, and it's a means to delegate authority. And as a wife, when I recognize my husband as a leader and I encourage him to walk in that role in my life, I have covering, and I'm walking in obedience to Scripture, which means not only do I have his covering, but I'm aligning myself with God's covering, and he's pleased by my act of faithfulness. And I think that's been kind of the biggest thing for me, that even if things mess up, say Jared makes a decision and it's like the worst possible decision he could ever make, God has me covered, and God sees my acts as righteous because I was living according to his word. And there's so much freedom that comes from that.
It is freeing, and it's also so important to your children. I will tell you, my children are grown, and I actually had, my son's 23, and he actually came to me about 4 or 5 years ago. And he said, I just want to let you know that I recognize that you and Dad were always on the same team. And he said, I could see in your eyes sometimes that you didn't disagree with, that you didn't agree with him, but you never said anything. And he said, I knew that I was battling both of you because you were on the same team. And I think had we not been, it would have really, really negatively impacted his life. So I'm very thankful that at that time I had a husband that would, you know, be on the same team with me to raise our kids, that he was in charge. And they'll pit you against each other. Your children will do that. It's their natural tendency. So it's good for them to learn early on that they can't do that. And that's really the only way you can do that, is to be submissive. So tell me about your background in Bible study. You obviously have a good grasp of the Word of God. How did you get to the point where you dug into the Word of God and taught Bible study?
So I grew up in the church. I received Jesus into my heart when I was 5 years old, and I knew what it meant. I was aware of what it meant to receive salvation, but somehow I missed the memo on actually having a relationship with God. And so you fast forward several years until I was in seventh grade. And I remember sitting with our little youth group in the church that my family was attending at that point. You had regular service with all the grown-ups, and then the kids left and you went to children's church. And so we're sitting in there listening to the sermon, and the pastor was talking about something. I don't even recall what, but he kept talking about how God said this to him and God was speaking with him about this. And in my preteen geniusness, I was like, yeah, right, whatever. He doesn't mean that. That's not real. And I initially blew him off as, like, oh, church speak. But the more he kept talking about it and going through the sermon, the more I realized that he actually spoke with God. He had these conversations. And so it started me on this path of seeking to learn what God's voice sounded like, mm-hmm. and wanting to understand how to live according to what he was saying, and to recognize him and instead of just the voice in my head or the voice of what I think I should be doing or the voice of the world. And so that one service radically transformed my life. And then through then, I started getting more involved in our youth group and in youth ministry. Our church had a non-accredited school of ministry that was pretty much all of us went to the local congregation. But I got to go through that for 3 years and really learn scripture and learn about worship and learn about intercession. And I would say the more I hear Jesus speak to me, the more I want to study. And so it's very much become a, what is he saying? How can I please him interaction? And I love the sweetness of how he talks with us.
Okay, that explains it all right there. That explains it all, because I was probably in my early 30s before I ever had an experience where someone talked to me about how the Lord had spoken to her in such a personal way. And I was just looking at her, and she goes, later, I talked to her about it, and she said, you thought I was crazy, didn't you? And I said, no, I was jealous. I was jealous, and I wanted that for myself. And looking back, what I had to understand is, and I share this sometimes when I speak, if you're going to talk to someone that speaks a different language than you, then you better learn that language. If I'm going to speak French, if I'm going to talk to someone who only speaks French and I only speak English, we're not going to be able to communicate. And the Bible is God's language, and you will never, I don't believe, and I just want to say this to our listeners, I don't believe you will ever hear that, have that experience of clearly hearing the Lord speak to you unless you know his language. Uh-huh. So if you're jealous that the Lord speaks to other people and you think you don't have it for yourself, you dig into the Word of God, because the more you learn it, that is the Word he speaks.
Uh-huh.
So that explains everything. I love it. Well, is there anything else you want to tell us about the book?
I would say if I could encourage any wife who's listening, as you think about your life and you think about your marriage, if it has not turned out the way you thought it would, and I don't mean, like, it could be all right, but there are areas that you thought, oh, I thought we would communicate better, or I thought we would have more intimacy in this area, or I thought he would know me or understand me more. My encouragement for you would be to keep pressing in, to keep seeking the Lord and asking for him to advocate on your behalf, and to believe God for good things in your marriage. One of the things that the Lord taught me a lot in the process of writing this book is that he cares more about me and about my marriage than I ever could. And when I trust him to advocate for me, and when I trust him to carry my burdens, and when I go to him to talk with him about my concerns, even more than I talk with him about my husband, God does stuff on my behalf. And it's so much better when he starts moving than when I'm trying to get things done.
That is so good. And I mentioned how many books I'd read, but one of the ones, it's an old one. Have you read The Power of a Praying Wife?
Yes.
So it starts out, Lord, give him a new wife. And let it be me, because it's about changing yourself, because ultimately the only person we can control is ourselves. And I think that's a lot of what your book is about, is, you know, marriage is romanticized, and people are always looking for something they don't have, because I think of the influence of Hollywood and romance novels and all of that. But really, the only person we can control is ourselves. And so we have to work on our own relationship with the Lord. And all of that other is a blessing.
Yep, that's so true.
Absolutely. Well, do you blog or do you speak?
I do. I do both. I blog over at thejenweaver.com, so thejenweaver.com. And it's not because I'm a big deal. It's because Jen and Weaver are super common names.
Jen Weaver. I love it.
And then I do speak. I actually am also one of the hosts for a Christian Communicators Conference called the Declare Conference. And that happens every year. This year it's in October here in the Dallas, Texas area. And we help equip women to walk in their callings as Christian communicators. So I'm all about helping other women follow what the Lord's putting on their hearts and getting His word and His testimony out in the world.
Well, that's awesome. Do you speak on topics other than marriage then?
I do. Mm-hmm. As you shared in my bio, sharing strength is big for me. I believe that we can come alongside and encourage one another, that we can share testimonies to bring people encouragement and comfort and compassion out of the things we've gone through. So I talk about storytelling and blogging. I talk about marriage. I also talk about just things that I've gone through in my own life with learning how to hear the Lord, how to grow in relationship with Him. My husband and I have had struggles with fertility, and so I talk about that. I'm all about responding to the Lord and encouraging other people to do so.
Love it. And I love that sharing strength. The disease that I have causes weakness, and so I have had to, I'm like you, I like to do everything for myself. In fact, I came home to a leaky toilet because I tried to fix it myself. I think I'm going to have to ask for help. But I had to depend suddenly on other people to do even the most menial things for me, like open a pill bottle or cut up my food or, you know, bring my garbage in from the street. And so it's been very humbling, but it's also been a tremendous blessing to know that the family of God has surrounded me and shared strength with me when I did not have it. So
amen.
I know that's a big blessing that you're sharing your strength with others. So I thank you for all that you're doing. That's awesome.
Thank you. You are a living testimony of the perseverance that I want to have. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you. I've had some experience in perseverance the last 3 years. I'm a perseverance expert, as you said. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. I hope that this will just become a widely read because I think it's widely needed.
Well, thank you. It's been an honor to talk with you.
Great.